This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm incredibly proud to be an Over the Influence community member. When I became a member, I got a double dose of the podcast every week, now that I had access to the premium pod, and I also loved the in-person Zoom calls, basically just getting to know like-minded people. Personally, it's been just over a year since I changed my relationship with alcohol, and I've honestly never felt better. My head is clearer, my relationships with friends and family members are better, and overall in life I just have way more energy. Thankfully, I never had a rock bottom, but Over the Influence made me realise I didn't need one. It's never too late to change for the better. So thanks for being there for me, OTI, and keep up the great work.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. This is the world's best. It is the world's biggest. It is the world's fastest growing, probably, alcohol-free podcast. It is wonderful to have you listening. If you're joining us for the first time, let me take a moment to reintroduce ourselves. My name is Sharon Hartley. You can call me Shaz or Shazza. Everybody else does. I actually now don't know my day count. I think I've stopped counting days, but I am well over 1,000 days alcohol-free. It still makes me go quiet. It still makes me go, oh my God, is this actually happening? Yes, it is. The other thing that makes me go quiet quite often, normally when he drops a clanger, is my co-host, Freddie, who is in the future. He's in New Zealand. Evening, love.
It's the lover man, Shazza. That was singing, that's was my work. Like...
That's one for
that's
the kids.
Worst one yet.
Ben's got his hands in his head. Oh, brilliant. Oh, his head in his hands even. This is
it's
going
early
off
for you,
start.
Isn't it, Freddie? It's early for
it
you.
It is
though.
Early for
what
me.
What time is so it there? Is it 6 o'clock in the morning
it
in
is
New Zealand?
7 in the morning, but hello everybody. Oh. I am shattered because I got up at 4 o'clock this morning to watch England versus Germany in the football. But that was a very happy ending. Woo! And we do love a happy ending here on Over the Influence. So hello everybody. My name is Freddie. A slightly different approach from my usual introduction. So I had the proud record of getting more and more hardcore with my drinking as I got older. And that's why I can't wait to speak to the guest that we have on the show today. Because at university, I was relatively, shall I say, well behaved with my drinking. It was only when I left university, went into the world of work and then went into being a proper grown-up and having kids myself, that my drinking got worse and worse and worse. But I managed to finally stop drinking after 1,000 failed attempts and then, yeah, broke the world records and did some running and did some moving to New Zealand, where I am right now in bleak mid-winter and I am bloody freezing.
Oh, our hearts bleed. Freddie, thank you so much. It's always lovely to see your happy face on these calls. And our third wheel. What do I call myself? Am I a rose between two alcohol-free thorns? Maybe a sober rose between... I don't know. Background Ben, who is no longer in the background, he is firmly in the foreground. He is the producer of this fine podcast. It keeps myself and Freddie in check. He's the grown-up, maybe? The sensible one?
The youngest one, but he's also the grown-up.
Yeah, exactly that. And he's also very, very alcohol-free. Hello, Ben.
Hello. I'm not very successful, though, am I? No. Keeping you guys in check. It just
no, you
doesn't.
Fail miserably each week.
Yeah. I do try. Hello, I am Ben. Actually, guys, quite exciting. I make it, that is, when this podcast comes out, it'll be tomorrow that I'm a year alcohol free. Because it takes me a good week to edit our nonsense. So I'm hoping that, first of all, England have won on Saturday, and that we are now through to the semi-finals, because we are on a high after beating Germany, as we record Whoa. Right now. But also, I hope that I am going to make it to my year tomorrow. I am. course I am.
Well, if you don't,
that'd be really shit advert.
I'll be driving over and kicking your ass. Let me tell you.
You know, I've never felt more confident about anything. Actually, like, you know, I honestly thought I'd get closer to this time and really start going, oh, yeah, but I've had a year off.
Yeah.
That sounds great. You know, I can always say that I've had a year off alcohol. I thought I'd kind of start going, I could just have the one odd one here. Really don't want one. Really cannot. I've never felt like, because I had a lot of people, it was my birthday over the weekend. Thank you guys for buying me a
huge
happy
birthday.
Crate. Happy
sober birthday.
Thank you, guest Charlie. Thank you. But it was, he bought me a crate of alcohol free beers. I didn't drink on my birthday. And it was actually my last birthday that made me think, like, wow, I need to seriously think about what Freddie and Shaz have been banging on about here, because I had the worst hangover of my life. And it was honestly, long story short, delighted to be alcohol free. Can't believe it's a year. Going to carry on going because it's awesome.
Every credit. Ben, we're so proud of you. And I'm just going to quickly say, I just want to drop this in before we will eventually get round to introducing our guest and having a chat. Because
sorry,
that's
Charlie.
What this is all about.
No, it's all good.
Charlie,
just
wait there one sec. I have I've been listening back to all our previous episodes of Over the Influence on Series 1, Series 2, and there's a whole load to go at. And it is brilliant, in particular, listening, aside from Freddie's, his Freddieisms and his serious quotes and, you know, all these things he comes out with. It's been joyous listening to you, Ben, because in the first sort of series, you're quite quiet. You are literally in the background, and then this confidence has come through. And as you just said there, you've never felt stronger and never felt better about being alcohol free. And I feel quite proud, and I'm dead chuffed, and it's just bloody brilliant.
It's like me and Shazza are like your sober parents, and you're our little boy who's about to fly the nest. But that'd be a little bit weird, but also quite a comforting image, I find.
It is. I want you to come back to England just so you can hold me again, Freddie, like you used to.
I will clasp you to my bosom one day, Ben. We will be reunited.
And
right.
Once again, it's going down a strange, strange path.
We desperately need to introduce Charlie here.
Yes, we do. Right, enough about us. Charlie, I can only apologise. So
no,
this
not at all.
Podcast is all about the guests. It's all about your stories, your successes. It's about singing about the bloody joys of sober life. Our next guest, there's many things I already love about you, but obviously big fan of Over the Influence, so thank you for that. And our next guest got in touch and just sent us a wonderful, wonderful email. And there is so much to share. You are already really, really inspiring. So let's kick off with the fact your name is Charlie. You are a beautiful young woman in your 20s and you are 6 months alcohol free. Welcome to Over the Influence.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I love the podcast. I love hearing everyone's stories. I'm just very excited.
We're really excited to have you. It is lovely. And aside from the fact that you make the three of us feel like ancient dinosaurs because you're very young and trendy. We're going to put you on the spot now. We've never met before. We've never chatted before. We've had some exchanges on email and social media and all the rest of it. Just tell us about you. Just who are you? What do you do? Where are you from?
So I'm 23. I graduated from uni 2 years ago. I've done a few different jobs since then, a few jobs in care and teaching, but basically I'm a writer now at the moment. I'm writing two books. I'm writing a novel and also a book about sobriety in your early 20s and the kind of related, like sort of more like part memoir, you know, like kind of like about my life, but also about drinking and how the two are interrelated and that kind of thing.
That sounds amazing, Charlie. Also reminds me that I've got a book coming out soon, so we should definitely we should definitely talk about that. I thought I'd just chuck that in there straight away. But it's amazing to meet you, Charlie. And already I'm blown away by the clarity and the confidence that you have at your age that I certainly wish I had at 33, let alone 23. So that's absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
If I may, can you take us back a little bit to the more early years and you know, what was drinking like for you, and when did you start to realise that you needed to change your behaviours?
Well, I think the whole drinking thing, I think for most people, starts kind of in your childhood and how you see the people around you drinking and stuff. And obviously no offense, men here, but I'm obviously younger, so this is quite recent for me, you know, like my teenage years and stuff, they don't feel that long ago.
No offense, granddad.
Yeah, Ben, boomer.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that.
Look, Charlie, it's fine. We've established that you are much younger than us. We don't have to mention it again. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I won't say anything else.
Ben, just put it on your MySpace profile.
You know what? I was actually saying to someone the other day, I was there at university when Facebook was only available to people if they had a university email address. And we were like, yeah, I've got my @warwick.ac.uk email. You can go on Facebook. God.
Oh, cringe. I love that.
Anyway, Charlie, drinking, teenage years, not that long ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe even, you know, even younger than that, I would think growing up, my mum was a single parent. My mum and dad split up when I was quite young. And my mum was a single parent. She had quite a lot of not very nice boyfriends, and we had not like very much money and stuff. So I don't know, I was kind of like a worried and anxious kid, I would say. Like, I was often worried about money and worried, you know, like kind of ashamed of who I was and stuff. And my mum had a few not very nice boyfriends who treated her kind of badly, and also me and my sister kind of badly. And then also there was my dad, and my dad was a big drinker. My mum always said like he was a really nice guy until he'd had a drink. And I've more recently, we've kind of spoken a little bit about this more recently as I've kind of become alcohol free. I guess before it was kind of very much kept in the dark, not really on purpose, but just kind of like it was so long ago, just hadn't come up in conversation. And she said like the first time she really noticed it was when we were like really little babies, and he was going for a job interview or something, and he was drinking one of those, I don't know what the equivalent would have been then, but you know, like the kind of Henry Weston style thing. Now it's like a really strong kind of cider, and he was like drinking a few of them before this interview. And that was when my mum's first thought, like, oh, maybe he's got a bit of a problem or whatever. And it kind of progressed from there. And then obviously they split up when my mum was pregnant with my closest sister. And I saw him sort of on and off. And yeah, I think he drank a lot. And there was one time when I was about five, I think maybe five or six, and I was staying there with my sister, and he had like got really drunk and left like beer bottles everywhere. My sister had found this paint, like he was painting a room, and she'd covered herself in this like red paint. I tried to give us a bath and the bath was like overflowing, and tried to make us breakfast and burnt myself and all this stuff, you know. And my mum came, obviously you can imagine, like a parent like seeing their kid covered in red paint just immediately thinks like, oh my god, blood. So yeah, I didn't see him for a while after that. But then once my mum said, okay, you can see him again like in public or whatever, he just, you know, consistently let us down. And it was really hard for me, to be honest. Like, I remember I used to like write these lists of like all the things that I thought I'd done wrong, or reasons that he wasn't coming, you know, and like things that I just felt like it was really my fault. And to try and like make up for that, because it was such a shy and sensitive child, I kind of felt like an adult trapped in a child's body in some ways, because I had to be grown up in some ways, because my mum just, you know, needed extra help and it was hard for her. So yeah, I had a lot of this anxiety and shame. And I also went through puberty quite a lot younger than some of my friends. And I just didn't understand. Like, on the one hand, I was being asked to be so grown up, but then I felt so scared and so childlike and so ashamed at the same time. And then we moved from Coventry to Shrewsbury, we lived on this council estate, and there was like a kind of, the council estate had like a school nearby where most of the people went, but I went to the school opposite, which was kind of like the more middle class school, I guess. I don't know if that's a kind of vulgar way to say it. But like most of my friends, like obviously I can't say for sure whether they were middle class or not, but their lives were just so different to mine. And like I would go to their houses after school and they'd have these like big meals with loads of sides, and none of them shared a room of their like younger sibling, and they went on holidays and blah, blah, blah. And it just, you know, I think it just made me feel more and more like an outsider. And then probably when I was like 12 or 13, it was my uncle's 50th birthday. And I think my mum got me one like low alcohol drink or something. And then I was kind of like going around sweeping everyone's drinks, like when I'd figured out this was possible. And so that was the first time I probably remember ever getting drunk. And I was loud and people were laughing at me. And my family thought I wasn't, you know, I think my family always thought I was kind of shy and not very talkative. And I was being loud and they were all laughing. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. I was like, oh, this is how I feel normal and like feel accepted and wanted and all of those things, you know. And so then like my friends kind of were into it as well. And it didn't feel like not normal because like so many of my friends were doing it. And I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm not an outsider anymore. Like I can fit in now. People will like me. And I had this whole thing about validation, you know, and I, not to psychoanalyze myself, but I guess like a lot of it came from just, you know, I still have like a lot of fear of abandonment and being scared of not being enough. And alcohol was always sort of filling that void for me, I think, like throughout my teenage years, you know, and I was like sleeping with a lot of people, I was getting attention from people, and it kind of made me feel happy for a while. Or, you know, I thought I had a lot of mental health problems as well throughout this time, and it was all kind of mixed up and the memories were all foggy and faded. But yeah, and it just got quite severe quite early on, I would say. Like in sixth form, I drank a lot, like just as much as like a few of my friends, to be honest. But like, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot. And then at uni, it just kind of didn't stop. And it progressed and progressed and progressed. And I've had quite a few boyfriends and stuff. And yeah, a few of them have said to me in the past, you know, you drink too much. But in my head, I was like, no, but this is what makes me me. Like, I'm Charlie and I'm chaotic and my bedroom's a mess and I leave my uni science till the night before and I smoke ciggies and people like me because I'm easy breezy, blah, 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 having fun, all that stuff, you know. And I thought without it, like, I wasn't going to be kind of worthy. And then it was only when, like, my mental health started to take a kind of quite severe beating because of all the drinking. You know, and I was doing things I didn't recognize myself. I was doing things that didn't align with who I wanted to be. I felt like I was a kind and considerate person, but these sort of became like backing tracks in my life. And even the things that I think I'm an interesting person, like I'm interested in philosophy and spirituality and all these things, and I would pay lip service to them when I was drinking, but I never actually put time into them. It was kind of like this fake thing, but like drinking was my only real personality trait. And over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, I've had kind of stints of like between 2 weeks and 2 or 3 months giving up alcohol, but it was always very much like a timed thing. And it's only it was the 27th of December 2020, and I was like, this is, it's enough. Like I was like, I'm done, I'm actually done. I did dry January, and then I was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep going, it's at least my birthday. And then after my birthday, I was like, definitely not going to drink again now. Like, my life is so much better. And now I'm here, and on Sunday I celebrated 6 months alcohol free.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That, honestly, Charlie, thank you so much for sharing all that, because you know, you're so young, you're 23 years old, you've had a really difficult past, so thank you for sharing that. Congratulations on nailing 6 months, by the
thank
way you should be incredibly proud of where you are, because, you know, for us old crows, it's not easy going alcohol free, never mind when you're in your early 20s, and you talked about it being part of your identity, and you know, as a student and your friends and your boyfriends and all the rest of it. Charlie, when you got in touch on your email, you talked about a reference to something you'd heard on an earlier episode of Over the Influence about being alcohol free doesn't change who we are, it reveals our true selves. Have you found that over the last 6 months?
Yeah, well, it's been a really eye-opening, kind of almost scary, but healing time, I would say. You know, I think it's kind of stripped back what I thought had become, or what had become me, but I thought was me. And actually what's left is, like, I see so much of myself, of how I was as a child. You know, I'm energized by time on my own, whereas when I was drinking, I thought, oh, I just want to be around people all the time. And now I realize, oh, actually, I need space to be on my own. I am sensitive to like loud noises, busy schedules, that kind of thing. And you know, that doesn't have to be a bad thing. I'm kind of shyer than I thought I was as well. I've always thought, like, oh, I've, you know, I can talk the talk and all this. And even when I wasn't drinking, I was kind of better at that. And now I don't drink, I realize that I'm actually much more, I guess, introverted than I thought I was. But I'm not taking that to be a bad thing. And I think it's also taken the veil off a lot of like trauma and memories and stuff that I need to go back and revisit and heal. And that wasn't really available to me when I was drinking, because I was just always dulling down my senses constantly.
Is that something, Charlie, that you're looking at now, that you're going to get some help with, and maybe some counselling, and
yeah,
what you've just shared with us?
Yeah, exactly. So I've always struggled with my mental health on and off, but the thing is about when I'm drinking as well. Well, I think a lot of people with depression, anxiety, PTSD, or whatever mental health problems they might struggle with, I think for those people, I find the thought of ringing the doctor is literally a nightmare. Like, I hate the idea of doing that, which is so ironic. It just seems ridiculous. But when I was drinking, it was like nightmare times 10, because like I'd be hungover like 4 out of 7 days or whatever. And then on the 3 other days, I wasn't hungover, but I wasn't 100%. I wasn't 100% either. But yeah, I've been in contact with a doctor, and I'm waiting on some counselling. And I've had counselling on and off as well, but because of my drinking, you know, I wasn't seeing it through. Like, I was always kind of half-assing it, I would say.
Charlie, I'd love to know it, and thank you firstly for sharing your story. And I think it's a very moving and obviously a traumatic at some stages, certainly. So thank you for sharing that. And I'd love to know your opinion on something. And this is always a question that's going around my head, and I don't know the answer to it, to be honest. But do you think your drinking is more links to nature or nurture? And or to put it another way, if you hadn't had the upbringing and the background that you had, do you think your drinking would have been the same or not?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I think when the kind of book that I'm working towards writing at the moment, I'm asking myself exactly that question. Like, is it the kind of culture and society, or is it my upbringing, or is it like my actual genetics? Like, is, you know, because people say that alcoholism is genetic as well, and I know that my dad really struggled with it. And yeah, and actually with my dad as well, it's kind of extra difficult for me to kind of resolve that or find out more on for what it was like for him, because when I was 16, he actually had a seizure, and he's had brain damage from the seizure, so I don't think he has a lot of memories. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but now I think he's kind of considered disabled. So I've kind of had half conversation, because we don't really talk on the phone or anything, but we sometimes send each other texts, and I've had kind of half conversations with him, and he seems kind of confused about why I would be upset with him or anything. And I think he's kind of no longer has the capacity to kind of revisit those things with me. And I think that would be kind of helpful in me kind of figuring out whether it was a nature or nurture thing. But to be honest, I think it's a combination of all the things. And I think, you know, if I had had the upbringing I had, but society, I think the problem was, it was like all the problems in my life, and all of the, I wanted to be more confident, and I had seen people drinking, but it was the fact that it was so normal that it never got called out for it. Because like, if drinking culture wasn't so strong, my drinking would have been a glaring problem to anyone who met me, you know. But because drinking culture is so there, especially here in Britain, it's like nobody looked twice at me. Like, I'm young, I'm a woman, like, I was going out and partying with my friends. Like, people never ever would have questioned my drinking. And I think that's what really kept it going, the kind of culture that surrounds it.
I think it's crazy, isn't it? And it's I was having a conversation with my kids just the other day. You know, mine are 6 and 9 now, and I had this flashback to when I was a baby, and my dad used to dip my dummy, that's pacifier for our US fans, yeah. He used to dip my dummy into his wine and then just like shove it in my mouth, and everyone found that hilarious. And then as I had younger family members, I remember him doing it to them as well. And my dad's background has been well covered on this podcast, so I won't go on that, but I always wondered, you know, was it because I'm a part of him? Was it because of the way he treated me? As you say, is it because we happen to be born in Britain around this sort of time, when for some reason, I mean, we were just watching the football on the TV a couple of hours ago, and you know, the very you know, there's going to be a party around the country probably happening right now. It's just there is something to do with our culture. And I know that it's similar in some other parts of America as well. And where am I trying to get to here? I'm trying to get to, you know, I think it's difficult. Sorry, go on, Ben.
If you don't mind me jumping in, just I don't want you to move on from the culture thing, because I think that's a really important thing to stay on, is that when us three sat down and started talking about this podcast a year and a half ago, I remember me and Sharon were going, oh yeah, radio's just soaked in booze, you know, it's just one of those industries. And then Freddie, you went, well, actually, hang on, you know, my industry was like that as well. The amount of stories that we've heard on this podcast, it doesn't matter how old you are, what industry you're in, what part of the country you were born in, what, like, everybody drinks. Like, that is it, isn't it? It's, you don't notice how bad it is if everybody's doing pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I think in a way, this is going to sound weird, but I kind of feel lucky that I had the childhood that I had, and that I, because I recognised my drinking as a problem, and I kind of, you know, it took several years, I think, of denial, but now, you know, I don't know, I guess because it was, my childhood was kind of hard, I think that, you know, made the problem worse. And I think if the problem hadn't been worse, then I wouldn't have ever cut it out. And I'm so, 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 so glad that I have, that, like, I'm kind of glad it got bad, because then I had so much to gain. And I never realised, like, I think a lot of people go sort of medium drinking throughout their whole life, you know, and kind of wondering, like, oh, is there something more to be had here of life? But I think the people who, you know, get a real problem, they have so much to gain. Like, it's not, you're not giving anything up. Like, you literally only have things to gain. And I genuinely believe from the bottom of my heart, everybody would be better off if they didn't drink. Every single person, no matter how little they drink, I think you've got so much more to realise about the nature of reality, the nature of your mind, what consciousness is, what existence is. Now I'm going on a bit of a down a spiritual rabbit hole, but, like, I just think you have
a spiritual rabbit
hole. Normally Freddie, so we can only thank you, Charlie.
I'm
going to
sit back and enjoy this, Charlie. You go for it.
But yeah, I'm just getting into so many more things. Like, I know you do a lot of sports and stuff like that, Freddie, but, like, just things that make you feel so in the flow. Like, I've just started, well, I haven't really started, I've just done, like, one thing, but I really want to get into climbing and, you know, running and swimming and all these things that, like, when I was drinking, I don't know, my whole personality was drinking. I didn't have any hobbies. Like, the other day I did a painting. Like, I haven't done a painting since I was, like, 9, you know?
Charlie, can I ask you a really personal question? And you don't have to answer it if you don't want. What does your mum think of what you're doing and where you are now?
I think my mum is amazing. Like, I love my mum. I have a lot of respect for my mum. And I think she thinks the sun shines out of my ass, honestly.
Perfect. What a great mum she is.
No, she really is amazing. And I think she, you know, I think she admires me, and I admire her so much. I think we've got a great relationship. And that doesn't mean things in the past are easy to talk about or easy to bring up, but, like, I feel like through the writing of this book, you know, I've kind of asked her a few questions, and she's telling me more and more, and more and more is, like, getting uncovered. And I think that's super helpful for us both. I think she can kind of forgive herself for some things. I can forgive myself for some things. And, you know, because when I was drinking and still living at home, I wasn't very nice to her, to be honest. Like, you know, I was ungrateful and pretending I was this really nice kind of person. And I just wasn't, you know, and I'm kind of okay to accept that now. And I hurt a lot of people as well, you know, I hurt a lot of people's feelings, and that's not the kind of person I'd want to be. And that the morning after, when you're lying there kind of shaking with anxiety and so upset that you've upset someone else, and I'm sensitive to those things, and I'm so, so glad, even on the bad, bad days, that it's not that bad anymore. Like, it's not as bad as it was when I was drinking.
We're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
We are just going to take a quick break from this brilliant, another brilliant episode. Everything's just brilliant. But Charlie, she's just brilliant. I love her. I love her. I love her. What a fabulous young woman. More from Charlie in just a few minutes' time. Before we go back to the episode, this is the part of the podcast that we like to call Shazza's Shoutouts. So, I can only apologize. It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh.
It makes everyone laugh.
Why are you both shaking your
head? It makes everyone laugh.
I heard that in New Zealand. It was so loud.
Big gob, Freddie. Big gob. Deal with it. We've got loads to get through. So, huge, huge thank you. You know, we've had loads of messages on social media. I'll come to those in just a moment. Huge, huge thank you to Ian, who has been on the website overtheinfluence.co.uk. He's bought us a coffee and he says, just saying thank you for the wonderful podcast. I've been listening since the start and will continue on this journey with you. Love you all. We love you too, Ian. Thank you so much. How kind is that? Tessa has bought us a coffee. Thank you so much for the podcast. A huge part of my sober toolkit. I've had a few stumbles, but I know the alcohol-free life is healthier and so much happier. Keep up the great work, guys. Freddie, we know all about stumbles, don't we? Tessa need not worry.
Absolutely not. I think we all go through those stumbles in life, but Tessa, it sounds like you are absolutely smashing it, and thank you so much for the coffee.
Fantastic. Helen S. Helen, it has been a joy to hear from you. Thank you so much. First thing, big fat congrats on smashing 365 after 3 years of trying. You've got there. Can't believe I've only just found this podcast. Where have you been? She says it's fab and you guys are amazing. I love that. Thank you, Helen. And Heather has been on day 20, alcohol free. Greetings from Montana? In the States.
It depends what part of the country you're from. I think it's Montana. If you grew up on the different side of the track, it's Montana, darling.
See, I'm being handed on Montana.
It's Montana. Like Hannah, it's Hannah Montana, isn't it?
It is Hannah Montana. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana.
Tomato,
tomato. Potato, potato. Heather, thank you so much. This has tickled me. She says, listening to your podcast, I love the humour. Was pretty humourless for the first 2 weeks. You and me both, Heather, I had a face like a slapped arse for around 6 weeks. But it starts to get funnier. And alcohol-free life is glorious. So you stick with it. Don't worry about the fact that you might be a little bit humourless to start off with.
It's a bit like Over the Influence, isn't it? The first few episodes, you're shitting yourself and you're just trying to get through it. But then after that, it just gets funnier and funnier and funnier.
And they are pretty humourless in the early stages. I also want to mention, this is another person many, many, many miles away. Alison in Southern California has messaged. So that is lovely. And I just want to show you evidence here. And a couple of very special shout-outs, actually. So, Andy, I'm not going to use surnames. Andy in West Sussex has hit his 365 today. Been in touch.
Amazing.
Look what's heading his way, Freddie in the post. Can you
is that a telegram from the Queen of Sobriety?
Well, apparently so, because this is now
brilliant.
A thing. And there's another one here.
I love it.
This is going to Liam. And she has just hit 100 days today. Just remind us of the challenge you set, Freddie.
Well, I have one good idea every year, and this is definitely the idea of 2020. So in England or Great Britain, when you hit 100 years old, you get a telegram from Her Majesty the Queen. But here on Over the Influence in the Kingdom of Sobriety, when you hit 100 days alcohol free, you get a telegram from the Queen of Sobriety, Shazza Hartley. That's right. You get a handwritten, hand-signed postcard through the post from Sharon Hartley. It's all for free. Just let us know if you're approaching 100 days. It is. Shazza, your wrist and your tongue must be killing from all that writing and envelope and stamp licking. But it's amazing, and everyone, literally, this is going viral around the world, that people are getting these telegrams, and it's amazing that we're getting all these. And on a serious note, it's amazing that we get messages every single day from many people saying, you know, the positive changes they've made in their lives, how they've, you know, that they've finally managed to overcome drinking, how they've finally managed to change their habits. And it is so heartwarming and so inspiring, because, you know, here behind the scenes, you know, we have a little wobble every now and again. Me and Ben and Shazza, I'm like, oh, what, you know, what are we doing? We don't quite know. And is this, you know, what's happening and what's next? And then we get these messages, and it absolutely, literally makes our day. And the telegrams from the Queen of Sobriety is just a way of us saying thank you in our own slightly funny, slightly strange way. So thank you all very much. And yes, so if you're...
There is nothing polished about these telegrams. However, they are personal and they are written from the heart. And joking apart, thank you for getting in touch. Thank you for chucking a few quid into the Over the Influence coffee pot. And thank you for sharing your successes. This is what it's all about, and it's why we do it. So, yeah. And for the final time, thank you.
Thank you.
Charlie, I'd like to talk to you about environment. We hear a lot that younger people are deciding not to drink in the first place. Mm. You know, statistics. There's some really good stats coming out, and you can ask me what it is. Can't remember it right now, but it's something crazy, like nearly 20% of people under the age of 23, I think, are deciding not to drink. When I was growing up, that kind of, you drink to be part of the crowd, you drink to be accepted and everything else. What we find with Over the Influence is a lot of people come to us because they look at their own lives and there's nobody else doing it. Nobody else is alcohol free. Are you a lone ranger as a young 23-year-old, or do you have people around you that are also choosing this lifestyle?
Good question. I actually don't know anyone in person who is alcohol free. I have a lot of people, not a lot, probably like two or three people on Instagram that I've like messaged back and forth who I know are in their early 20s who are alcohol free. But I don't know a single person my age who's completely alcohol-free. And a few, like maybe two or three of my friends, don't drink that much. And I guess we're kind of getting a little bit older, so people are slowing down. But I really don't know anyone my age that doesn't drink.
You live in Liverpool. We were talking about it before we started recording. I live in Liverpool. I was drawn to this place for a number of reasons. I was offered a job in London and Liverpool at the same time. I'm really glad I chose Liverpool because I've built my life here and I love it and I never want to leave. It's creative, it's bonkers, it's fun, it's vibrant, it's exciting. It's just everything that I want in a place. I love Liverpool. But my God, Scousers know how to party.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow. Like, I'm from Birmingham and I thought, being from the second city, I'd seen it all. I came to Liverpool and it was just a new level.
Yeah.
Do you find it difficult being in a city that's so known for having such a good time, where alcohol really is a very big part of that?
No, it really is. I totally see that. You know, it's the stag and hen party central. It's people going to bottomless brunch and being messy on the street. Like, there's nothing is not okay in Liverpool. But that's one of the reasons I love it as well. Like, I might not be drinking, but I can still go out in a really short skirt and high heels, or my dressing gown and slippers to the shop. But yeah, I actually haven't really been out that much because of lockdown. I've been out a few times, and with the table service, you know, I think people are just kind of more stressed. But when, you know, I've definitely had one or two conversations where exactly what you're saying, like, people kind of can't understand it, and that's kind of difficult, I think. It kind of goes back to the, I feel like I'm wearing the big stamp that says outsider or whatever. But I think it's something that I could get used to. And I'm so glad, I feel so lucky that I got alcohol free in lockdown, because I had the chance to kind of heal some of the stuff and get more confident before going out there into the world. And now I've done quite a few social things. And when people question it. I just give them my spiel, you know, and then they're like, wow, actually, I think I want to go free at the end.
You are shining the way at the age of 23 years old. I think it makes me a little bit sad that you don't know anybody that's your yeah. age, you know, within your circles that's not drinking. It can be painfully lonely at times being alcohol free. But what I do love is the fact that you want to, you're considering when you do your master's at uni, you want to make a sober society.
Yeah.
I swear to God, Charlie, I think it'll be packed. I honestly do think you will not be on your own there.
I mean, I hope so. I have no idea. Obviously, you can't. I don't think it's really done thing to start a new society like until this term kind of starts. So I haven't really looked fully into it. But, you know, anyone can start a society. It's no issue. And obviously we have those freshers' fair things. And I'm just picturing myself sitting there with the sober society or like sober curious society and like, I don't know, like first year freshers just like hurling abuse at me.
I think it's the best idea. Honestly, I think it, because it takes balls to go alcohol free. But then to start, you know, trying to spread the word and just sing about the unexpected joys of sobriety, which we have all found. I think it's a really brave thing to do.
Thank you.
And I don't think you would. There's no such thing as failure anyway in the alcohol-free world. I don't think you would fail with it.
If there's one person, it would be great. And to be honest, I sort of imagine that there's this kind of underbelly of students who feel really lonely and isolated because they don't drink.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because imagine not drinking, you know, as a student. It's like, that's just so in the culture. It's like, it's what everybody does. Even all of the societies, even like, I don't know, like risk society or like, you know, board game societies, they still drink at them. Like, it's crazy. Even this yoga society, like obviously not at the actual yoga probably, but like after, I'm sure when they get together, they drink, you know. It's just so in the, and if you don't drink for whatever reason, whether it's addiction or religion or just because you never did or because you don't like it, you know, there's so many reasons. And I'm sure there must be so many that just don't say anything about it and just keep it quiet, you know, and just feel kind of isolated.
On your own, individually, you need to change that, Charlie.
And I don't want to be that preachy person, you know, and I don't think any of us are, because I've been there, done that. Like, the amount of times I've been sick in my bed or, you know, smashed my face off the concrete. I had a lump the size of a literally jacket potato on my head. These two front teeth are fake because I was pissed and smashed my face off the concrete. Like, I'm in no place or position to judge anyone for their life choices. But I just want to be someone who helps people realise it's never too soon or too late to change your life for the better. It's just always going to be a good thing.
I mean, Shaz, you said before that, I think we've all said it, that we all wish that we'd stopped drinking earlier.
Oh, I bore myself senseless with it. Yeah, I mean, I am literally, Charlie, twice your age. And if I could, I'd love to give you a big squeeze, a big sort of motherly cuddle.
One day.
And welcome you into my oversized bosom and just go, thank you, because you've just been, you've just been lovely. And you're young and you've got quite... Not quite. You've got a very wise head, you know, on young shoulders, which is obviously what you've shared. It's so personal and it has been difficult. And, you know, thank you for that, because it's not easy. But you are moving forward. You know, you've just marked 6 months alcohol free, which is bloody brilliant at the age of 23. Every credit to you. And, you know, you're working on a book and you're working on your own Quitlet. You keep on this path, Charlie, and quite literally, the world is your alcohol-free oyster. Or is the alcohol-free
world
your
oyster?
That's how I feel.
That's how I feel, honestly. Like, not, I'm not even super hyped about being successful. Like, I'm so happy with where I am now. I literally don't technically have a job. I'm just writing this book. But at the same time, like, I feel so lucky and so happy, and I know that things are going to be good for me because I don't drink, and that's why I want to share it with other people. I want, especially people who I see have so much potential, I'm like, go alcohol free, it will be amazing. I'm like,
oh, you're starting to sound like me.
But I just realised as well, Ben, you're almost exactly 6 months older than me in our sobriety.
Pretty close. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 6th of July is my date. And it does, when you hit the milestones, it's like, shit.
It's like, really? That's so long. Yeah. Half a year. I would have never, ever in my life. But it's so funny because I would have never in my life thought I could get to 6 months, but it's like what you guys said before on the podcast, like, I haven't come this far to come this far. I know that I'm not going to drink again. I would even go as far to say I'm certain that I will never drink again. Like, I know, obviously, oh, I don't know you. The future, but like, why would I? Like, I've healed so much. I've grown so much. I'm a better person, boyfriend, child, daughter. You know, I'm a better friend and listener. And I just like myself, even though obviously everyone hates themselves sometimes. But I just like myself way more than I did before.
I think what I love as well, Charlie, I think, and I don't want to go back to the past at all, but...
No, that's okay.
I know people, I said, that are 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than you, who are still drinking, and they're still saying, yeah, but there was this thing with my dad, and then I just... people don't understand me, and then I had this happen to my life and that happened to my life, and they're still reliving either their past or their past mistakes. And
yeah,
and you mentioned, you know, we've all on this podcast, we literally could and probably shouldn't write a book on all the stupid stuff we've done when we're drunk, and all of the mistakes and the disasters and the regrets and the people that we've hurt and everything. And I know a lot of people, and when they go alcohol free, and I had this as well, it feels like all those mistakes are coming back to haunt you, but you've obviously left them in your past and moved on from it. And I wanted to, because I had to ask this question, I had to get spiritual and ask you about all of the spirituality stuff, because I love this. And, you know, in terms of, you know, law of attraction, in terms of spirituality, do you feel that you're, you know, your spirituality has changed? Do you feel that you're, you know, you're vibrating on a different level, that you're... Yeah. attracting stuff into your life,
definitely.
What's your whole view on all of that?
Definitely. Well, you know, I'm still learning. I'm definitely still studying and learning about myself and the world and the whole spiritual journey and path. And I'm interested in Eastern tradition, but I wouldn't claim to know loads about it. But I practice yoga and meditation every day. I also follow the Wim Hof method. I love Wim Hof. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Yeah. Never done it, but I'm impressed.
And like have cold showers and all these things. And it's kind of becomes your sort of daily practice, and writing my journal and all this stuff. And I swear I've had some like trippy experiences that like feel like I'm like high on MDMA or something sometimes. Like, it's literally that just bonkers. And I think I don't know, there's just so much to be learned. And in terms of like law of attraction, I don't know how much I actually, you know, believe in that as just like a theory, but the idea that like if you like yourself more, if you're a better person, if you do more good in the world, if you're kinder to people, if you show up for yourself, all of which I think happen when you quit drinking, if you do all those things, then people will be nicer to you. You will have more opportunities come towards you. You will get up earlier and do more things with your day. Do you know, it doesn't have to be the kind of way people imagine law of attraction for it to be a real thing. If you're nice to people and you're good to the world, good things will happen to you. That's just, I feel like that's just true.
No, I totally believe that. And you said it much more eloquently than our Shaza, who just says, don't be a dick.
I mean, it means the same thing, really.
Charlie gets me. She knows my vibe.
I really think you guys are just amazing. And I thank you for your podcast, because I love hearing everyone's stories. And I think there is no... Just hearing other people, you know, their struggles. And I think there's so much shame when you're drinking. And that's the thing that keeps it... It keeps you from saying, I thought I was alone. I thought, oh, everyone else my age can handle it. Everyone else, you know, everyone else is just drinking fine and they're not feeling like this. Why am I like this? I'm different. And then I sort of found this like movement on the internet of people, you know, young girls like me who were just partying too hard and woke up feeling shameful and guilty too many times. And then, you know, shame kind of lives in... When you're scared of those things that you're ashamed of, you know, when you put them in a box and repress them and push them down as far as you, because you don't want to look at them, they're so scary. When you do that, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. When you just open the door and look them in the eye, you're like, come on then. And then it's like, oh yeah, they can't hurt you anymore. When I just say all the things that used to make me feel ashamed and I let them out and tell people all the times I was drunk, all the things I did wrong, all the things that happened to me, it just makes it, I'm just looking the monster in the eye like, what are you going to do?
Charlie, you just used the words shame and guilt there, and you shouldn't feel any of those. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. You should be just so proud of the young woman that you are. You know, you're really inspiring. You really are. We've got a lot to learn from you. So thank you so much. We can't wait to invite you back on the podcast, maybe in a few years' time when you are a really famous author that's sort of changing the world with your Quitlet, you know, that sort of thing. And we're just sat here like three old bloody buggers chatting shit like we normally do. It'd be wonderful to have you back on in the future.
Thank you so much.
I know we've got all three of us. I can read Ben and Freddie's minds, and we are really excited that we have met you, because I think you may play... I don't want to say too much, but I think you might just get involved in Over the Influence in some way, shape or form
in the coming weeks
and months. Be proud. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story, and you are wonderful. Do you post a fair bit on social media if people would like to follow you? Would you like to share your handle?
So I do like little bits of writing, a blog post about philosophy and sobriety and that kind of thing, and just, you know, normal posts as well. And my @ is @ And So It Is XO.
So @ And So It Is XO.
Yeah.
There we go. And if anybody misses that or they don't quite catch it, just email us and we will send you the link to Charlie's page. 23 years old, 6 months sober. Bloody brilliant. You're a superstar.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. It's awesome.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Vagina Monopod.
Hello and welcome to the Vagina Monopod. Woo!
Woo!
I'm an actress, Sasha Parkinson. You may know me best from shows like Mr. Selfridge or My Mad Fat Diary. I feel like I'm reeling off my IMDb.
CV. I am Molly Wright. I am also an actress. What have I done?
The A word.
The A word.
Apostasy.
Bit of Our Girl.
Our Girl.
Apostasy.
Forgot about that.
2 weeks of Our Girl.
A little backstory as to how the Vagina Monoblogs came about. As a person anyway, I've always been quite open, especially from about 16, 17. I just kind of then couldn't shut up about periods. I'd happily tell anyone I was on it. I didn't really shy away from talking about myself in that way. I was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2016. And then that kind of just... spurred me on really to be more vocal on social media about menstrual health. We are not medical experts, but we will be getting
really
people...
Not.
No, we're really not. But we will be having the experts on. So if you have any questions you'd like answering, please get in touch and send them over to the Vagina Monoblogs on Instagram. We hope you join us for the next 10 episodes of more menstrual health discussion.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Vaginas!
The Vagina Monopod from Sound Rebel. Search for it now on your favourite podcast app.